you notice he was always traveling around the world, and whatever the situation involved, he was always caring enough, like Jesus, to go around and tell the people in love, you know, what they should do and what they should not do, because he basically care for their souls.
Amen.
And that's the, you know, that's how I'm coming to you all today, because what I have found, and I'm sure we can all contest to the same thing, when we look around and we look at the condition of the world today, I know that there is nothing truly that's new under the sun, but because we live in this time and we live in this era, we get to see some of the things that Jesus spoke about in the Old Testament. You know, there was always wars going on, right? There was always some of the things that we see going on today. Drugs, alcohol, molestation, you know, murdering going on. So there's nothing new under the sun. Homosexuality, you know, God put all of this in his word because he saw it, he witnessed it, and then he saw that it was going to be a part of what we experience today. So I'm going to be coming to you, you know, from the position of coming out of 2 Timothy, you know, going over the condition of the world where we are. And we're going to lead it into prayer, you know, just kind of letting us know how important it is for us to pray for a people who know not. And when I say pray for a people who know not, those who are not in Christ yet.
Yes.
Because we know that if we have the heart of God, right, we are eager to go and do what God has called us to do. And we know, first and foremost, that's fulfilling the Great Commission, right? Going out into this world and compelling people to come. I heard that in your prayer this morning, Bishop. And I thought that was so awesome, because we don't have enough people, I believe, that truly has that heart of God to win souls. The world is, our world is in trouble.
Amen.
Amen. And we should sense that trouble. And that trouble should catapult us to run this race. And run this race not just for us to remain righteous, but to run this race gathering up souls.
Hallelujah.
Everywhere we go, we should be eager to ask somebody, do you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior?
Mm-hmm.
Of your life. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to start today by going to 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And what I like to do is I like to include everyone. It's not just monologue. It's going to be dialogue today where I get to hear from you. So if it's okay if I call on you, I normally like to put name tags. Can y'all do me a favor, since I don't know everybody here? If you would just tear like a piece of paper out of your book and fold it, and then just put your name in the front so I can see your name, so that way I can call on you. So we're going to start at 2 Timothy, and that's going to be chapter 3. And this is where Timothy talks about the end times, the difficult times for Christian service. And when everybody get there, just say amen, that where I know that we're all there.
Amen.
Amen. I see Sister Cindy, Bishop George Snyder, and I just want to let you guys know that I did get my COVID-19 shot so that way y'all can feel comfortable with me having my mask off while I'm talking. Is that okay?
All right.
Amen. Let's see, Sister. Is it Helene or Helen?
Helene.
Helene, okay. And then,
yes.
I can't hear you. Sister Sage. Okay. Angela, Chris, Sister Vera. Is it Yvette?
Pronounced Yvette.
Yvette. Okay, Sister Yvette. And then, is it Romania?
Ramona.
Ramona. And then
TP.
Okay, Brother TP. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Good to have you this morning. So what I want us to do this morning is I like to imagine things because we know I like to sometimes imagine myself that really Jesus, he's talking to me. So it's so much, I try to take the word and I make that word real. If everybody know what I'm talking about, I don't just take God's word and read it like a book. So I know that he's given us all like this great imagination. Sometimes when you study in the word, does the word come alive for you? So when we're reading the word, we kind of say, this is the Lord talking to me, right? This is the Lord telling me this. And what he's telling me, I know, number one, that it's true. Mm-hmm. I accept it, right?
Mm-hmm.
By faith, yeah. Knowing that it's true. But this is something that we have witnessed throughout our time being here in the world. So what we know here is that God foresaw this before we even came in contact with it. So when we read this scripture today, we're going to be able to resonate with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to have faith for this. We know that it's happening already because it's being seen.
Yeah.
Amen. So let us begin. 2 Timothy 3, starting with 1. The Word of God says, I'm actually reading from the NIV version, the Life Application, so it might sound a little different from the King James. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes I hear people say, we're in the last days, like it just started. But we know that the last days began when Jesus what? He went and sat on the right hand of the Father, right? When he left, that began the last days. Amen. And he left the Comforter. I heard somebody praying that this morning. He left the Comforter here for us to dwell what? On the inside of us. Amen. It says people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They'll be boastful. They'll be proud. They will be abusive. Mm-hmm. They will be disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of what is good, treacherous,
yes,
rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Ever learning. Say that with me again.
Ever learning,
but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I want us to take a minute and just think about what was said there. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a few minutes and I'm going to just go around and ask different people, have they witnessed any of these things? So really what I'm asking you is this word true?
Amen.
Are we not seeing these things taking place today? And I think another thing that I want to do today is, Paul, he said that we should kind of take accountability of ourselves. And when I say take accountability of ourselves, we want to ensure that we're not who Paul and Timothy is talking about.
Amen.
In that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
And the reason why I say that is, and many of you can contest to this, I like it when Paul said in Romans, he said, because he was of the flesh. Everybody agree that we're of the flesh?
Yeah,
he came and he said, when I try to do what's right, I can't do what's right. I wonder why Paul said that. Now, this is where you come in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it with a raise of hand. Why did Paul say that? He said, you know, I'm of this flesh, and when I try to do what's right, I can't do what's right. When I want to do what's right, I still can't do what's right. Why did he say that? There was some perplexity going on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was perplexed. He said, I'm saved, I'm of the spirit. He said, but there's another law that I find that's taking place down on the inside of me. So he was perplexed about this whole thing. I want to do right, but I can't do right. I don't understand it. I'm born again. I'm saved. I believe in Jesus Christ. He said that he would give me power to overcome this canopy of flesh that I'm in. But he still found himself, he said, I'm torn on every side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brother TP.
Yes, ma'am. It's good what you're talking about, because we all are afflicted with the same warring.
I love it.
It's called warring against the spirit. See, we like, she brought out, we got the spirit down on inside of us, giving us indicators on what direction to go, what to say, how to treat our families, how to treat one another. But then you got this flesh that sometimes rises up at a moment and say this, or do this, or go that way. And we so used to reacting to our own internal direction that we don't stop and allow the spirit to minister to our soul. That spirit, it connects to our soul, which is our mind and our will and our emotion. And that's what he was talking about. Amen.
Now, I love the point that Brother TP brought up. And like I say, for those of you all who just showed up, this is truly not just about me. I said I've come to a place to give the word, but then I've also come to the place to stir up the word.
Wow.
Meaning that your involvement is just as important as me standing up and giving the word to you. God says in all things that he wants us to get understanding. So it's not about me being the professor, so to speak, where I'm just dishing out information. But he says that what we are to do is we have a responsibility of knowing the word ourselves, right? So guess what? We are partakers. Amen.
Amen.
I love it. We are partakers. So I want to hear from you as well. So I love what you brought up, Brother TP. Paul talking about the flesh being at work, that law. And then he also talks about the law of the spirit being. So we agree that we are truly at war. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Every minute, every second of the day, we are warring.
Yeah.
But here's what I love the most. And if you agree with this, God says that I have given you all power and authority to put what under subjection? So what does that truly mean to us as the light of the world, being the example? I heard somebody talked about being the light, being the example. It takes us to submit. We're without excuse. That's really what the word says. It says it in Romans. He said the only reason why we fall to the things of the flesh, he said, it's because of our own doing. He said, because God says, I've given you power, I've given you authority to rule over your body. Paul said it well. He beats his flesh. He said, I beat my flesh into subjection.
Hallelujah.
So we have to have the will to beat this flesh and bring it under subjection. When it does not want to do, we got to tell it what to do.
Amen.
And what we understand, that has nothing to do with the way we feel. Most of the time, we are defeated by what we
feel.
Is it the will or is it the feel that I want to fulfill? For me, it's always about pleasing the Lord. That's what does it for me. There's many of times where I have had the opportunity to be out of the will of the Father. Every time an opportunity presents itself, we get an opportunity probably 20 or 30 times a day, maybe more, to submit to the will of the Father. It starts possibly in our household, maybe with our children, maybe with our husbands, maybe with our wives. That's really what God means when he say, make sure your house in order. Most people take that scripture out of context. What he's saying is what you start here, once you get outside, you'll be able to do the same thing. That's really all they're saying. So he's saying, start here first. Start in your home. Start loving your children right here. Start understanding what my discipline means. What my God discipline means. God discipline means is not necessarily cussing your kids out. God discipline is not necessarily beating your child because of everything that they do wrong. God's discipline is the total opposite. Somebody mentioned that this morning. They was talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Love, meekness, gentleness. Be gentle with your kids. Be loving with your kids. Be patient with your kids. Everything I just mentioned, right? Is not natural to the flesh. It takes effort. Am I right?
Yeah.
Paul said, I'd rather you be doers of the word, right? And not just hearers of the word. How often do we hear the word But we're slow to do what God asks us to do. Now, this is going to take us somewhere here. We're going to go to this particular scripture. So we have identified that our world is in bad shape. And then there's a possibility even the saints of God is in a bad shape. Mm. Can we agree to that?
Amen.
Okay. I'm saying that because I'm not saying it's from a place of being perfect. I'm a realist. I'm a realist. When I say I'm a realist, I've accepted what God has already said about me. He said I'm not perfect. And I'm not. I've been married 36 years. Has it always been easy? No. We got to this place because we found Jesus. How many of you know just because we was born in a particular place or we was trained a particular way by our parents, by our grandparents, by our auntie, by our uncles, it doesn't necessarily mean that we was trained properly.
That's right.
When me and my husband came into Christ, we had to renew our minds.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because we had been affected by a culture that didn't necessarily come up in Christ Jesus. So we had to dump some trash, so to speak. Nothing against your parents, nothing against my parents, nothing against auntie, grandma, but the bottom line is, I love it when Jesus said this in his word. He said, my only family truly is the one who has received me as Jesus Christ of this world. He said, that's my real family. And what we learned when we came into the kingdom of God, the family of God, that our family had basically made some wrong deposits into our lives. So we had to accept that, not holding nothing against our parents, but we accepted, you know what, we got to do this a different way.
Amen.
And I'm going to share a story with y'all. We was talking about disciplining your children. I was a woman who was brought up with a mother who, at the end of the day, it was control. And most of us, I don't know, probably can relate to that. I know my mom did the best that she could bringing us up. But at the end of the day, God showed me that my mother was very controlling. Okay, my mother, you know, she did beat us a lot. Her discipline was beating and cussing, slapping us around, that kind of stuff. But when I got in my 30s, I'm 58 now. When I got in my 30s, I realized that type of upbringing, it did affect me mentally. Okay, and when I say mentally, I look back on my life and then I began to ask myself, why is it that I am calling other people mother? Why is it that I find myself going to other women, you know, asking them questions when I have a mother? Okay, this is how God will do it, guys. Sometimes we don't even realize that things in our past, sometimes we won't start, God won't have us start dealing with them until sometime in our future. There's a lot that takes place down on the inside of us. Believe it or not, when we come into Christ, we don't even realize that it was down that deep. But he will allow it to come up in us so we can deal with it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So when he began to bring that up to me, I had to have a talk with my mother. And what me and my mom talked about, I let her know how I was feeling, right? And when I let her know how I was feeling, I just pretty much, I say, Mom, I want you to know that I know that you did the best that you can do. I didn't hold nothing over her head because I knew she did the best that she could do. I said, Mother, I forgive you. Somebody need to forgive somebody here today. So what I did is what God told me to do. Irregardless of how I felt, I went and I said, Mother, I forgive you. I forgive you for all of the things that you spoke over me, death. Some of our kids are a reproduction of what we have spoke over their lives. I shared that with my mother concerning one of my brothers. She often spoke death. You're not going to be this. You're not going to be that. You sorry so-and-so. I know y'all familiar with these terms, right? We are a cultural people. We're more alike than we are unalike. So Amen. We have a lot of commonality, I'm sure, you know, when it comes to that. I'm saying this to say what James reminded us of. We can't just hear the word, but we have to do the word. I'm saying this to say that what TP said, he basically said that when we're faced with temptations or when we're faced with situations, oftentimes we don't respond in the way in which we know we should respond. Amen. So I want to take a minute and we're going to go over to Deuteronomy, because what I want you all to see is this. When we're not obedient to God, we can be just like the Israelites. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. And I'm going to have somebody to read this. And I want y'all to stay in the mindset of this, you know, because sometimes I'm telling you, God is deep. And we have to know that there is no condemnation against those who are righteous, and that the word, it comes to teach us, to train us, to cause us to go from glory to glory. But it also reminds us to continue to do well, to continue to do well. And that's what I want to encourage us today, is to continue to do well so we can reap the blessings of God. So, were you able to get a mic? Okay. Can I have someone to volunteer? And I want you to read starting from Deuteronomy, and I want you to go from 1 through 14.
Okay.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 28, and somebody to read from 1 through 14.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Okay, stop right there. Now, I want everybody, let's read two together. Let's read two together. It says,
and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
So that word hearken there means to obey. Obey the word. So that's conditional, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time when we speak, people, I don't know, they're taking God for a joke now. Mm. It is based on a condition. If we obey God, then we reap the good of the land. If we obey God, I'll give you life, and I'll give you life more abundantly. Yeah. If you obey God, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then I say of the Lord, he can be my refuge and my fortress. He will cover me if I obey his commands. Go ahead and continue.
Bless shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out.
Okay, let's stop right there. I'm going to ask the bishop. Verses 3-5, can you elaborate on that? When God says that you are blessed in the city, blessed in the country, the fruit of your womb will be blessed. Can you?
It basically is stating what you just said, that you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed coming and going. But it is predicated on the obedience that you spoke of. And that not just that, but your children are going to be blessed. But not only your children, mm-hmm. but everything that you possess is going to be blessed. That if you have you have to be a farmer, then all your cattle are going to produce and be multiplied.
Amen.
Blessed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Mm-hmm. God is going to bless you in such a way that you're going to have an overabundance of everything.
That's right.
An overabundance of happiness.
That's right.
But so, can I say something before you go?
Go ahead.
This is amazing to me. This passage of scripture.
Amen.
And the reason why I say that is over 30 something years ago in this building, mm-hmm. this is where I was ordained to be, in this building.
Amen.
I helped to build this whole side of the church here with my hand.
Amen.
But I said this for this reason. This was spoken over my life. This very passage of scripture.
Wow.
And so as soon as you said Deuteronomy 28, I was like, oh, Lord, what are you doing? Amen. What's going on, God? Amen. Why didn't you send me back to the beginning?
Come on.
This is where it all started, right here in this building.
Mm-hmm. That's why yeah, I
stand
with you.
Amen. Praise God. So just like the bishop lifted up, it said, you will be blessed in the city. Amen. Blessed in the country. Everywhere you go, the fruit of your womb will be blessed and the crops of your land. In this day and time, there are people who still have crops and they still have land. Amen. But he's talking about your barns will be full.
Yes.
Pastor said it well last night. He said that the righteous will never go begging for bread. If we obey him, let's say that. If we obey him. Amen. Amen. And obeying him, if we can tie that in with Romans again, where Paul was talking about the perplexity of wanting to do right, warring with the flesh. So we know that obeying Christ is not easy. The word of the Lord talks about us giving a reasonable sacrifice unto the Lord. That is our reasonable sacrifice, is to obey Christ. The reason why that is our reasonable sacrifice, because God even knows that without his help, we wouldn't be able to do right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's where the submission come in. Thine will be done. Jesus was our prime example. He didn't just go to Gethsemane one time and ask God to take this cup from me. That gave us the example. Even Jesus in the flesh struggled with having to do what God sent him here to do. But he realized, he said, Lord, I have power. I have authority over my feelings. I have authority over this thought that's not like you. He said, thy will be done. He said, if I don't do this, there's a people that's destined for hell.
Yes.
And we have to take on that same attitude when we're faced each and every day, tossed on to and fro on every side. We got situations going on in our household. We got situations going on the job. We got situations going on in the ministry. We got situations going on in our business. Opportunity to do better. See it the way Jesus sees it. He says, I will allow trial and tribulation to come in your life to make you stronger. But oftentimes we see it the way the world see it, because what we do, we listen often to what the world tells us, and everything becomes a struggle. Mm-hmm. But God says to count it all joy. Mm-hmm. Count it all joy when we're faced with diverse temptations in this world, right? So when we're faced with a temptation, let's see it the way God sees it.
Yes.
Let patience have her perfect work, even in this time. Because what we know, that God has given us the ability to overcome.
Amen.
He didn't say overcome one time. He didn't say overcome two times. He said overcome it all.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons change. Nothing stays the same.
Amen.
This too shall pass. COVID-19 shall pass.
Amen.
We have to believe that. Amen. So continue. Seven.
The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways.
Mm.
The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Mm.
The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his way.
Let's stop right there. Let us all read number 9 together. Read.
The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his way.
Now let's make that personal to ourselves. Let's say me. The Lord will establish me.
Mm, good. That's good.
The Lord will establish me. Are we not a holy people?
Amen.
Are we not a chosen generation?
Amen.
Are we not part of the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Are we not partaker of his inheritance? Everything that belongs to him belongs to us, even the land, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So let us put ourselves in there. Now read.
The Lord shall establish me a holy people as he has sworn unto me, if I shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways.
Is that a condition?
Yes.
Is it free?
No.
It's not free. It's not free. He said, if we obey, simply, if we do what God tells us to do, if we align our will up with his will, he said, then I'll bless you. Then you can eat the good of the land. Then I will not withhold anything good from you. Mm, that's powerful. What a position to be in. That's exciting to me. Because when we want to please God, we obey God. And then guess what? When we're faced with situations, when we read this, oh my God, you get excited about it because you say, Lord, I thank you
Because I know, God, I'm not perfect, but I've been obedient unto you, God. And I know, Father God, that you're going to bless me. I know, God, that you're going to cover me. I know, God, that you're going to keep me in perfect peace. When sometimes it feels like I'm going to lose my mind. We don't have to tremble. We don't have to fear, knowing that a God who created the world, who spoke everything in existence, hallelujah, is for us and not against us. Wow. How powerful is that? Oh, I love the Lord.
Yes.
Do y'all love the Lord?
Yes.
I love the Lord.
Yes,
because he has done these things for me, and I know he's done some things for you.
Yes.
And that's the reason why we can rejoice. That's the reason why we can get up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm choosing to rejoice and be glad, because what I know, as soon as I get into word, in the word of God, here comes the enemy. But guess what? I know how to move.
Yes.
Teach my hands how to war, Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And when we tell the Lord to teach us how to war, guess what? We're going to have to face some trials and some tribulations. That's the only way that we're going to go and grow and be strengthened in the Lord. Faint not, my beloved, for I am with thee even until the end.
Yes.
Fear not. He will give us a word in a time of trouble in the name of Jesus. He'll give us a reason to be thankful. He'll give us a reason to be grateful. The very reason that I can stand before you and nine of my family members can't say that anymore. I'm thankful.
Mercy.
Because I get to be among the living.
Amen.
Make every moment count. While yet we live, breathe, and have our being.
Yes.
That's really what I'm trying to say. And take somebody else with you.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Continue.
And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee.
Mm.
And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open up unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in this season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow.
My God.
And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail,
Stop right there. Stop right there. Anybody in here, if the enemy ever told you that you're nothing and you're not enough and you're not good enough, this is enough right here to make you shout.
Yes.
The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. My God is a good God. Whose report are you going to believe?
That's it.
Are you going to believe the report of the world? Or are you going to believe what God is saying to us today? He said, you are somebody.
Yeah.
Precious jewels in his sight.
Yes. Right.
You are in his beloved. Resting in his bosom. Come on, somebody. You got to know who you are in Christ. We know that the battle most of the time starts in the mind. He tells us to cast down every
accusation.
That's really where the fight is.
Yes, man.
It's mostly in our minds. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if we can win the battle in the mind, come on, somebody. We can win the fight.
Amen.
We can win the fight. We can win the fight. Let us continue.
And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath.
Above only and not beneath.
If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day,
amen,
to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them.
Now, I'm going to ask the prophetess, if you would, I want you to just take that whole scripture there that just talks about the blessings of God, what we will receive if we are obedient unto him, and tell us.
Just looking at it and going over, God made some promises to Israel, natural Israel. And we're considered people now, we're engrafted in.
That's right.
Into the body, so we would be considered Israel.
That's right, partakers.
Now, so we're partakers. We have been engrafted in or adopted in.
Mm-hmm.
What I know is that adopted children receive the same blessings that natural children receive.
That's right.
And I was talking about this the other day with elders in my church. God doesn't throw away his old kids for his new kids. We bring them all together. So now you have them all together, and there were promises that God made, but he was very specific about it. He said, if you observe and do my commandments,
that's right,
if you follow me, if you accept me, but if you go more pouring after other gods,
right,
then you're in trouble. That means if you're holding anything as an idol you can hold before you could be your job, an idol that you could be holding before God could be your marriage, an idol that you're holding that's more important than the service of God could be your children.
That's right.
An idol that you're holding before God could be a career. And God is saying, don't have any of that stuff before me. Not that you can't have that stuff, but don't hold it before me, and you're going to see the blessings that are going to be released.
Amen.
Conversely, and I don't want to jump ahead because I want you to have there, but if you go to verse 15 through 68,
let me go there.
I was like, if you get yourself in trouble, if you're
exactly
not.
So what I want to do is, relation to what we just read, I want y'all to take that, meditate on that, and just think about what God is saying. And then I want somebody to go back to 2 Timothy 3, and we're going to read 1 through 5 again.
2 Timothy 3.
Somebody else that wants to share, you can grab the mic. I'm going to have you to read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 again. And we can hold our place there and run it. Deuteronomy 28 as well. Anybody that wants to read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And when everybody get there, just say amen, so that way we can all be at the same place.
Amen.
It is known also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to the parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, evil, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Okay, so looking at Deuteronomy 28, And then looking in Timothy, where we're warned that in the last day, the nature, the very nature of people will change. So what I want to do is I want to take three people, and I want you to maybe share just like a minute. Take one of those particular areas that's explained there in Timothy, and I want you to describe a real life situation where you have experienced what God is telling us there. Again, this is real, what he's saying. And then tying it into Deuteronomy 28 is how important as the saints of God that we don't fall. Make sure that this is not us. Y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So by being obedient to Christ, it takes us out of 2 Timothy.
That's right.
Y'all see where I'm going?
Yes.
Okay. So anybody, I just want you to stand up and share. I'm going to give you 1 minute. Again, we're painting the picture and we're saying how real this is. And this is God. He's already forewarned us. And now we're actually witnessing it ourselves. So what have you witnessed in either one of these areas here in 2 Timothy? Somebody can come and share. It's just contesting that the word of God is true. Mm-hmm. Anybody? Mm-hmm. Anybody, the mic, yeah, the mic, there it is.
Well, it says one place where it says disobedient to parents. I can remember a lot of things that my parents used to tell me and stuff of not to do that I would go ahead and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like I was big and grown enough to do it and stuff. And it usually would backfire in my face. And my mother would often say, you're going to get tired of listening to your friends after your friends get you in trouble.
Amen. So Sister Cindy. Okay, so Sister Cindy says that she can contest that she, as a child, was disobedient to her parents. Amen. Somebody else? Anybody?
Is it on?
Y'all kind of silent in here. Come on. I know the world is in an uproar. So I know that we're seeing all of this. We can all agree that what God is sharing with us is true. Let's just spit it out. What do you see going on now in the world that can contest to what that scripture talks about?
Okay, saints, so let's look at verse number 3. Without natural affection, mm-hmm. truce breakers, false accusers, mm-hmm. incontentment, fears, despisers of those who are good.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can go into the verse 4 as well. We saw this in not to be political, but we saw this in the previous administration that mm-hmm. we had in office.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We saw this at the onset of the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Denying it and all the things that he said about it, not in a leadership position, but not being a leader.
Right.
It was like he was a lover of death more than he was a lover of us who are living and grieving.
Right.
You know, he didn't move forward to do anything. He was a host. The numbers was going up to what, over 500,000 people were dead, and it was just like, you didn't have any love in your heart for mankind.
Okay. So what she witnessed is that maybe the president, he didn't have love in his heart for mankind. Amen. Right. Amen. How about, can somebody speak on, this is a big one going on now with people don't recognize it. But with the social media, people becoming lovers of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody speak to that? Lovers of themselves. How can social media make a person maybe become vain? Anybody?
Well, you know, what came to my mind, oh, Sister Yvette, praise God. What came to my mind is that we're living in a time, once again, it's already in the old. It was confirmed in the old, validated in the new.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And so we see constantly how the world tries to force the vomit of the adversary on us to get us to agree with what Satan wants the people to do. Okay, so we move to social media and we realize that we've been an outroy of the Me Too, you know, saving black lives, you know. And then we have the alphabet crew. That's what I refer to them. Because I can't get every alphabet. But see, the writing on the wall tells us is that when God destroyed this world, he did it by water. And somehow the adversary through social media is teaching our world that the rainbow is now a collection of who you want to be, whatever you desire to do, whatever different lusts, promiscuity, sexual desires. You're going to make me try to buy into something that my God brought forth in the very beginning that says, I created man.
Okay.
So, and he meant what he said, and he said what he meant.
Amen. So I like that, because what she said is that she's identified pretty much what you're saying. If we don't really know the truth of God, then we can find ourselves on the other side, because that's actually happening too, right? There's people who once was in the Word of God who's no longer in the Word of God. There's people who have decided to take the Word of God and distort it. We know exactly what the rainbow means, right? That's a promise from God. He said that no more what? No more floods. So that's what standing firm means. Standing firm. Your heart fixed right on God, on the things of God, where our minds can't be changed. But unfortunately, there are some people whose minds have been changed who were once in the faith, but they're no longer in the faith. But the revelation of a difference is God says that if you can turn from him, you were really never his.
That's right.
That's really the truth. And I think that's the reason why you might hear sometimes people talk about playing church. Mm-hmm. Your life is really on the line. If you're coming to the house of God and you're not taking it seriously, meaning that you're just hearing the word or you're just doing a pilgrimage. You know, you do have people that do that. They think it's a place, a social place. But God's house is not a social place. It's a place where we come in to reverence God. God is sovereign. God is holy. He's omnipotent. He's everything. So when you think about a God that's mighty and powerful, that type of God, you want to reverence. You come to him with fear and trembling, not fear, but fear and trembling. You enter in his courts with praise. You enter in his courts with thanksgiving. You come in, you honor him, you adore him, you cherish him. You guard your heart. You guard your mind. When I say guard your heart and guard your mind, that means that when you come into the house, I take it pretty seriously.
Yes.
And the reason why I say that is because truly my life is on the line.
Amen. Amen.
I'm particular about who can speak in my life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know what ministry I need to be connected to. Because what we understand is that when I come into a place, you hear people often say, you want to leave a different way, but you got to give me something first.
Amen. Yeah.
So when you feed me, remember Jesus, he told Peter, he said, Peter, feed my sheep. He didn't say it one time. Do you love me?
Mm.
Then feed my sheep. And you all know God talks about this time where the word is going to be watered down.
Yes.
I don't want a watered down word.
Amen.
Feed me. Mm-hmm. Till you can't feed me no more. But we also have a responsibility ourselves, right? We have to study to show ourselves approved. Amen. So it's not just all on the leadership. It's not just all on the pastors. But I say, beware. Be particular about really understanding what you should be getting. God says, try the spirit by the spirit. Miss Romana, and I'll come back to you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. My name is Ramona. I'm Minister Ramona Denfield. I just want to make sure that we stand on track with what you're saying. First of all, as Christians, it's a disciplined life. We become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's number one. Amen. So as he leads, we follow. Amen. So what the world is doing has really nothing to do with us. They're going to do whatever they want to do. Because even in Revelation here, in Revelations 22, 10 through 11, it says, the angel continued, don't seal the words of the prophecy of the book. Don't put it away on the shelf. Time is just about up. Let evildoers do their worst. And the dirty minded go all out in pollution. But let the righteous maintain a straight course of the holy, and the holy continue in holiness. Amen. So when I'm reading this, I'm saying to my brothers and sisters here in Christ, is that we got to stay focused on what Jesus is calling us to do. One, you in your beginning of your you ministering to us, you want to make sure that we go out and get someone else. We can't get someone else if we're focusing on the world's sin. We have to focus on the love of Christ that's in us, because the love of Christ is what's that drawing magnet. Mm-hmm. It's going to draw the world away from what they're doing. Amen. And I love what you said earlier about your relationship with your mom. A lot of us, our will and our emotions is connected to our culture. And so our culture, I'm Creole. So, you know, we feisty. We Frenchy, and we, you know, we want to say what's on our mind. We say what's on our mind without letting the Holy Ghost lead us first. The Holy Ghost will let you tell you to hush. The Holy Ghost will restrain you from getting into a fight with a worldly person, because you can't make them understand, because they don't have the word of God in them. Amen. If you have the word of God in you, then you have to be wise as serpents and soft as doves. Amen. So that's what we have to do. And I know, even when you read in Timothy, Paul was talking to the leadership. He's talking to what they have brought into the church.
Come on.
Okay, what they brought into the church. But many leaderships is talking about what the world is doing, but not what's going on in the church. Because in the church, we got liars, slanders, boasters, homosexuals. We got adulterers in the church. Incest is going on in the church.
Sister Roman, I love what you're saying.
Amen.
And that's where we are.
That's where we are.
We're dealing with us.
Us. God said, I'm going to judge the church first.
That's right.
He comes to our house.
First. Amen. And I'm glad that I'm stirring that up, because that's a good thing. Because when we get stirred up on the inside, then that means that we have some compassion going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Compassion for the things of Christ, meaning that we want to do right. But I want you guys to keep in mind that what Paul said, this is key to me. That war that goes on, the flesh and the spirit, which we know the spirit is perfect, but the flesh truly is weak.
It's weak. It's weak.
And because we know the flesh is weak,
we have to discipline.
But we also know that the Comforter was left. The Spirit of God dwells down on the inside of us, which yes. is greater.
Yes.
The fact that we know that what's on the inside of us is greater, it still all boils down to our will.
That's right.
We don't have to wait to be convicted of our wrong. And when I say that, giving this an example, let's say Sister Angela here. Let's say Sister Angela, you know, maybe she was not having a good day, right? And Sister Angela, she came up to me and maybe she lashed out at me, right? God loves us both.
Exactly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, you heard me earlier saying I want to please the Lord, right?
Yes.
Now, the fact that it happened so sudden, it caught me off guard. Most of the time, that's how it catches you, right? And when it catches you off guard, I ain't waiting for the Holy Spirit to convict me. You want to know why? Because the word down in me. We without excuse. We really know what to do. If we in the word, he said, be slow to
anger.
Quicker to and slow to speak.
Slow to speak.
This is how I handle it all the time. I wish I had one of my workers here to contest. We're always faced with challenges. So most of the time I allow myself to see law.
Yeah,
let's say you came up to me. And you having some kind of day, and you just going off on me. This is what I do. I sit there and I allow them to do them.
Exactly. You don't participate.
I don't participate. Fire with fire. That's in the word. Why are we gonna go back and forth? Can't nothing good come out of that. So what I do, I just allow them to do me. And I've gotten over the fact that I'm easily offended. God say don't take offense. And I've gotten over my pride because 9 times out of 10, what makes you lash back is pride.
Amen.
Exactly.
I'm not at that place anymore. And the reason why I'm not at that place anymore is because I've done the word.
Amen.
When it first happened to me, you think I didn't feel something coming up? Like, boy, they don't know who they talking to. The first maybe 15 or 20 times that happened, I was like, Lord, I'm scared of myself. But I'm going to do your will, Lord. They don't even know where I come from.
Firmly on the rock.
I used to hire, you know, some gang members. They better leave me alone. Because nobody really know your past, y'all.
They don't know where you came from.
They don't know where you're coming from. So now, because I have done the word enough, you can't easily offend me. Okay. You having a bad day. I'm reading you. I'm saying they're having a bad day. I'm saying, Lord, give me a word to say.
That's the discipline. I'm
saying, what shall I say to her today? Right now, just give her a hint.
That's
the discipline.
That's the
practice. Amen.
You have to do what James said. He said, I'd rather you be doers of the word than just hear
it. Practice.
When people just hear the word, there is no change in their lives. You know, oftentimes we do have the answers to a lot of things that we ask. You know, let's say you take a person who's not in Christ, and most of the time we say, I don't know why they're acting that way. Really? We do know why they're acting that way. Because again, they know not.
They know not.
They're not referencing the word. They're not trying to do better.
That's
right. Right? A person who just hears the word and never do the word, you say, man, you know, I met her 10 years ago, but Man, she's saying the same thing. What is that? We know what that is, right? They're not doing the word. They're not doing the word. So in order to grow, God's word is guaranteed to grow us because he said it. I'll take you from glory to glory. He said, I want you to do well, meaning do better than you did yesterday. He said, I want you to prosper, even your soul to prosper. That's in everything that we do. Amen? So it is now 12 o'clock. And I want to definitely be obedient to the man of God. He said that we was going to be doing lunch. When we come back, I may expound on this a little more because there's one more point that I want to make. And then what we're going to do is, I love it that Miss Ramona brought that up about us. Because if the truth be told, and I'm saying this from the position of being a leader, and I'm not just saying because I'm a leader in the house of God, but, you know, God has blessed me and my husband, where we're leaders. We have our own businesses. We have employees. So I see it on every side. It's not just the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And I can expect that this type of behavior coming from the world.
Yeah.
But I can say that my heart has been saddened.
Amen.
You know, by the people of God.
Amen.
You know, and you know, my question lately has been, where is the love?
Where is the love of Christ?
Where? Because remember Jesus said, he said, a love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen. If you really know what that means, if we really have love for people, I know we can't be like Jesus because he's perfect. But we can be almost perfect if we decide to do it the way he do it.
Amen.
You know, forgive.
Forgive.
Long suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Allow God to do the work on the inside of the people. Allow people to be flawed.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
We're falling out of love. I question if we're really in love, but we're falling out of love over the small
foxes.
That's what the Bible said about those small
foxes.
At the end of the day, we're failing.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
And that's kind of, you know, why I wanted to get into today. And I was hoping, I said, Lord, I hope I can touch their hearts today. And that we will all just kind of take a look. I always use this term, take a look in the mirror. You know, I never point outward. You can ask, they walk with us probably since inception. But I'm not an outward pointing person.
Mm-hmm.
Paul dealt with this in Romans. Remember with the Pharisees? They was always pointing fingers. He said, no, sin is sin.
Exactly.
Why do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always ask myself, I say, Lord, you know, what is this?